Sometimes when I'm leafing through the hymnal looking for a hymn that speaks the words that I want to say to a congregation that reflects what I think that I need to say on a Sunday morning, the hymn will say it so much more clearly than I can. So if you want to skip the sermon, you can just review the hymn. It's very similar. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. Bless us this morning that words spoken and sung and words heard might be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the record, I have spent my life on the move. In my growing up years, my parents moved, I think at least 5 times, might be more. Since I've been married, I have moved 8 times. So that's 13 moves, not including the move to college, moving into Meg's house before our house in Brooklyn was built, settling into that current home, and the 4 apartments I lived in when I was a student at Yale Divinity School, okay? That's a lot of moving around. For a person who hates change, and that's me, it's a pretty tough road. Being what I have come to call a corporate gypsy hasn't increased my appreciation for change. In fact, it's made me yearn, and Bob will say yearn often, for the past. I truly miss the little Cape Cod-style house in Bristol, Connecticut, where my children grew up. It only had a 1-car garage, and it had a terrible driveway that went around a curve and up a big hill. On snowy days, getting a car to the top of that driveway was impossible. The basement was damp. The bedrooms were tiny, too tiny for 5 growing people. The yard was sloped and very difficult to mow. Sometime ask my son-in-law, Kirk, who was my lawn guy, how difficult that yard was. But in the wall on that kitchen were the pencil lines that marked each of my children's birthdays. You know what I'm talking about, right? David, age 5, Meg, 8, 12, 16. That house held so many cherished memories, memories of days that will never return. The house itself wasn't wonderful, but it was cozy, and it was home. Leaving it behind meant, for me, leaving behind much of what was familiar and comfortable. In today's Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah is offering words of comfort to a community that has been relocated. The people of Israel had seen Jerusalem destroyed, their best and brightest carried off to captivity in Babylon. For years, Israel had lived in exile and lamented their loss. They remembered a time when they felt God's presence, when they knew God was protecting them, when they understood their lives to be secure. The prophet speaks to the people of Israel saying, "Fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, and you are mine." In the Hebrew scriptures, the language of redemption implies kinship, a family connection. Isaiah is offering comfort to the exiled people of Israel, not in distant futuristic language, but with the intimate language of familial love. The future is secure, because the people of Israel are God's people, and God will not let them go. Remember, the prophet is saying, who you are and to whom you belong. That wall in the old kitchen, the one with the special pencil marks for every birthday, it served a similar purpose for me. It reminded my kids that we belonged to each other. Looking at that wall reminded us that we'd done some growing up together. We had a shared story, And ultimately, we were secure in one another's love. It was a concrete sign of our shared story. Isaiah's words continue, offering this promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For the people of Israel, hearing those words, would immediately call to mind the story that the people shared with God. The promise holds both a reminder of a shared history and a promise for the future. This is the God who had brought order out of the chaos at creation. This is the God who had brought the people of Israel through the waters of the Red Sea to safety. God's promise to God's people is grounded in history. Remember, remember, the prophet says. And yet, there is more. Just a few verses later in Isaiah, as Edward read to us, God says to God's people, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." All right, it's a little contradictory, don't you think? Remember, forget. But maybe God is suggesting something just a little bit different. Shared history is important. It grounds us, reminding us who we are and to whom we belong. But shared history is not an end in itself. It's the place we start from when we move toward the future. Moving forward into the future, it requires that we leave behind some of what is familiar and comforting. Moving forward means change, and change can be hard. I live in a wonderful new house now. My kids, all three of them, come to visit often. Each time they come, we weave new stories that we add to the old story of our life together. But it's not the same. I still miss those marks on the wall. But in many ways, this new house is better. In the text from Isaiah, the prophet uses a lot of water images. So this week, as I was thinking about the text, I was wondering, if we were comparing life to a body of water, what would be the best metaphor? A pool? Maybe a lake? The ocean? Swimming pool? This is what I think. You knew it was coming to this, right? I always tell you what I think. I think life is a river. It's always moving along. We're mostly contained within its banks, but things are constantly changing. The same is true for the life of any faith community. I stood right here one April Sunday, just a little over a year ago, and I assured you that in spite of Pastor Dave's departure and the changes that lay ahead for you as a community of faith, that your future was secure. Today, you are changed, and as I understand from what I hear, in many ways, you're stronger than you were back then. Pastor Medhat is here offering his particular unique wisdom, his leadership, and a new perspective. Old friends have taken on new roles. You've tried a few new ways of doing things. I know that because I offered a communion in a new way in January here. Back then, when I talked to you, you had the reassurance of Pastor Chris's continued presence in your midst. Well, I'm back in the pulpit today because Pastor Chris is taking a well-deserved sabbatical. And I'm here to tell you that your future is secure today for the same reason that it has always been. You are God's people, those who have been named and claimed by God. It is by the grace of God that your future is secure. That's the good news. But along with any piece of good news comes just a bit of challenge. The prophet said, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old." In and of itself, remembering the past is not a bad thing. And during this interim time, you need to do that work. It's healthy. Who we are today arises out of the sum total of who we have been in the past. We can learn from mistakes that we've made and from the things that we've done well. But here's the catch. If we clench those memories too tightly, we can't receive the gifts that God wants to offer us anew. Over the next 2 months in our sermons, Pastor Medhat and I will be talking about some of the specific characteristics and patterns of behavior that enable healthy change in organizations. Each week, we'll describe one characteristic, and then we'll talk about the way it's connected to the life of faith. It's our hope that you all will think about these concepts and talk back to us, talk to the members of your interim committee. Wonder whether these characteristics are already present in this community or if you wish they were here. Ask questions about how they might be helpful. Argue with us about the need to apply these ideas. I believe that each of the traits we'll discuss has the potential to be helpful in this faith community, to help you create space for the Holy Spirit to be at work. But it will take every one of us working together to accomplish the task that lies ahead. And this is why. No two lives are alike. No two of you will hear my words in the same way. Each of you holds a piece to the puzzle that when assembled will be the future of this congregation. If all of us, each one offers their best insight or their best question, if we all contribute whatever it is we have to contribute to fashioning this church's future, the result will be greater than the sum of the parts. We are woven together more tightly as community when we welcome a little controversy, when we ask each other tough questions, when we listen lovingly to the answers that are given to us. We become the community God intends when we engage in the struggle that is involved in living into the future God has created for us. I hate moving, but I understand that I am always part of the decision to do so. At any point in time, I could say, no, I'm staying, I'm not going. But I made a commitment to move through life with Bob, and with each change, which each time I've moved, I've grown, and God's blessings have been offered to me. Let me offer you an image to take with you this week. As you remember that it takes many grains to create a loaf of bread, many grapes to be pressed into the juice that we'll share at the table. Think about this image. No matter how long you've been worshiping here, think of yourself now as part of the river that is Providence Presbyterian Church. Flow with us into the future. Don't stand by the side of the river watching it move. It's not even enough to just get into that river. No, be part of the river. Move with us as we flow forward into the future that God is calling us to, recognizing that God goes with us every step of the way. Thanks be to God.